You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode of Cutting the Curd is brought to you by Comté Cheese Association. Comté, an iconic cheese from the Jura Mountains of France, favored by cheesemongers and cheese lovers all over the world. Find out more at comté-usa.com. That's comté-usa.com.
Hello and welcome to Cutting the Curd. I'm your host today, Jessica Kesselman, and I'm very excited to be talking today about one of my favorite cheeses and one of the most beautiful places I have been. It's Comté cheese and the Jura Massif. Cheesecake just doesn't feel complete without Comté cheese. It's one of the most consumed AOC PDO cheeses in France, where shops generally carry more than one age of Comté, and customers purchase wedges on a weekly basis. The Jura Massif, or forest region, where Comté is produced, is home to about 2,400 dairy farms producing the milk for Comté production. The rules of production require that each cow that produces milk for Comté must have a minimum of 3.2 acres of natural pasture land to graze on. So you can imagine what the landscape is like. The natural landscape is also home to other cheese production and wine production. It's also a beautiful place for recreation with lakes and trails, and it's a destination for travelers from everywhere. In 2021, the current La Maison du Comté opened to visitors. This is a state-of-the-art interpretive center with multi-sensory installations exploring the history of Comté cheese, the region, the cheesemaking process, and the animals and people behind the cheese. The cows, the farmers, the cheesemakers, and the affineurs. It's a love letter to a region and a cheese that you didn't know you needed. And I am so excited that my guests today are here to talk about the region's history, the cheese production, and the La Maison. Please welcome Aurélia Chimier, the communications director at the CIGC, which is the governing body for the Comté PDO. And we also have Jean-Louis Carbonnier. He is the representative of the Comté PDO in the United States. So welcome, Aurélia and Jean-Louis, to Cutting the Curd.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica. Very pleased to be with you.
And I do want to mention off the top that Comté is one of the sponsors of Cutting the Curd, and we are so grateful to have your support. So I wanted to start, Aurélia, if you could tell us, what is the CIGC and what does this governing body for the Comté PDO do?
Well, CIGC is a collective trade organization that was created in 1963. And it brings together its members, Comté milk producers, cheesemakers, affineurs, and it acts as their spokesperson and as a link between them and their economic, administrative, political, or scientific environment. And CIGC has in charge functions, including promotion, defense of the members' interest, animating the association, research, and oversight of the Comté trade.
And why do you think that's so important to have this governing body? What if you could explain a little about what PDO means and why this governing body is important?
PDO means that Comté cheese can only be produced in a specific territory and according to traditional rules used by prior generations to create the cheese. So it's very important to protect the name of Comté because it's related, it's like a national patrimony. And this is the main objective for CIGC.
And the museum or the House of Comte, what is the mission of this building, and what are your hopes that visitors will learn by visiting?
The House of Comte is a tourism part of Comte. It offers visitors an immersive journey through the country of Comte in a scenography focused on the five senses, focused on play and cooperation. The proposed visit here allows you to discover both the production of Comte, its social organization, the values of Comte, the sets of rules, and its commitments.
Yeah, I do want to tell everyone that I had the honor, and I really do feel like it was an honor to visit this summer. And it is a beautiful building. It fits right into the landscape of the surrounding area. It's a beautiful wooden building. It's open and airy. And when you first walk in to the lobby, there are large digital displays of photographs, of portraits, of the faces of people connected to Comte production. And could you tell us a little bit about these photographs and who are they?
The photograph shows people the diversity of landscape we have on this large area. This area can be as well, in fact, in terms of geography, the region of Comte is characterized by a medium elevation mountains. And the elevation varies between 1,500 and 4,500 feet. So it really gives different landscapes. And it was important for us to show visitors coming at one season what would be the landscape like in another season. It's very, very different from winter when we have snow, to spring when we have a large diversity of flora in the pasture. And in between the landscapes picture, we have milk producers, cheesemakers, and affiners photo, because human is the most important thing for Comte, people who make Comte. We are proud of them. They are proud of what they produce. And that's why we wanted them to meet the visitors when entering in the Maison du Comte, to feel this importance.
And you know, it works. I really did feel that way. And I know the people I was traveling with, we were just really, really moved by these large photographs, just to see these faces of these people who produce the cheese and create this cheese, who milk the cows, who work the land. It was very moving, really beautiful photographs. And we'll try to get some up on our social media so people can see why I am talking so much about them. So right off the bat, this museum is telling visitors about the heart of the story. And you've told us a little bit about the region where Comte is produced. So what are some of the qualities about the land, about the Jura, that make it so good for dairy farming and cheese production?
Actually, the landscapes is characterized with an alternance of grazing areas and forests, half of which is spruce, used for aging cellars. And the specific geographic and climatic condition of the area are very favorable to the production of quality grass. And grass is what our Montbéliard and Simmental cows eat during during the good season, and then during the winter when they are inside the barn, they eat hay produced on the pasture. So grass is the most important thing for the herd in Comté, and the region benefits also from a unique cheese culture rooted in the centuries-old tradition of pooling milk together to craft a large-sized cheese. So the region is entirely dedicated to cheese production.
Can you tell us a little bit about the way the production is organized in a cooperative model? And I believe there's also part of the requirements is the distance between the milk source and the lattier, the cheesemaker, correct?
Correct. To explain how it works, you must know that every player must respect strict rules that have been defined collectively. And these rules are recorded in the Comté specification. And it's organized around three components closely linked together. The farms, as you said at the beginning, there are 2,400 farms producing milk for Comté. The fruitière, which is the cooperative cheese-making facilities, and the affinage cellars where Comté mature. Talking about the Comté farmers, they practice an extensive farming with the goal to produce high-quality raw milk and not the highest yields. But the specificity in Comté is that they are not only milk producers, but they are Comté producers, since the cheese belongs to them. They are active in their cooperative. They are invested in the management of the fruitière, as well as in the life of the Comté trade. The fruitière is a second part of the filière, and it's a symbolic part for Comté because it is the place where the milk producers pool their milk together and bring forth the fruit of their labor through cheese making. That's why we call the cheese making facilities fruitière. And the cheese management is based on a collective organization and solidarity. The cooperatives belong to the farmers and they hire a cheesemaker to transform the milk into first white cheese. And after production, the wheels are moved to local aging cellars to be looked after the affiner. They take care of the wheels during the aging process, regularly turning, salting, rubbing each wheel with a brine solution for 4 to 18 months or more. And when the cheese is at its optimum to be consumed, the affiner ensures the distribution in France or abroad. What is very important for me in the set of rules that every one of them are following is maybe the main point that has protected Comté for all those years is the distance between the fruitière and all the farms giving their milk to that fruitière to be transformed into Comté. It's the diameter of the circle containing the fruitière and the farms delivering the milk is 25 kilometers. I think it's 15.5 miles, I would say. And this protects the terroir of each fruitière. And it keeps a lot of fruitière of cheese-making facilities on the area.
And And this has been a way also to keep, you know, this the system, like you said, the cooperative model endures because there cannot be one giant company that can take over the production. It really is a system that has been able to keep production happening in this way year after year after year. Can anyone become a dairy farmer for Comté production, or is there how can somebody start producing milk for Comté? Is there a way for a new farmer to come, or do they need to wait until a farm becomes available?
Actually, any producer who is in the geographical area of the appellation and who respects the production condition can be accepted. It's very open, but you have to be into this cahier des charges, this official document approved by a state and European Commission, and proving Comté's identity, its quality, and its promise to the consumer. So that's the way it works.
Right. And do you see farms, the dairy farms, do they often get passed down within families? Or are you seeing older farmers sell, you know, passing their farms on to new people? In the United States, we see older farmers, you know, that they sometimes don't have anybody to take over. And this has been a challenge here. So I was curious if in the Jura, do you see a lot of people from outside the region coming to start farming, or do the farms generally stay in the family?
Actually, it's usually in the majority, it's a family transmission. But we also have more and more people coming from outside interested in joining the Comté production chain. Comté spirit and its organization really attracts potential producers. The system of production is very dynamic and attractive. Solidarity is a main word when producing Comté, and proudness as well. And giving all of this and following strict rules of a strict specification, people in the area live from their work. They get a higher milk price than the average French price. So they can live on the area, they can be proud of what they do, and so they keep producing milk, and it's something that happens into the family, but also by letting other people entering in the Comté chain. Actually, in our region, we can count one installation for one departure, whereas the French average is rather around one installation for two departures. So we are also proud of that, to be able to keep people living on our area.
So, yes, you've been able to retain more farmers, whereas other regions are seeing fewer farmers coming in and more are leaving or are not farming. So you are close to the border with Switzerland, and we know that over the centuries, borders of regions change. I like to say there are geographic borders, there are political borders, and then there are cheese borders. and one thing I noticed in my visit to the area that there were old posters for Comté cheese that had pictures of Comté looking very much like Swiss Emmental, you know, with the big classic eyes that we associate with a Swiss cheese. Has Comté changed over time, or was it just the name?
Comté changed over time. We have with Switzerland a common history for making large cheeses that could keep long during harsh winter. And these large-sized cheeses could meet the whole family's need throughout the winter on the Jura Massif. That could be on the French side as well as on the Swiss side. So we had common cheesemakers. We had cheesemakers coming from Switzerland. So the history is the same at the beginning. The border with Switzerland has always been as it is today, the highest point of the Jura Mountain, with one French part and one Swiss part. Then, over the year, some technology changes for Comté. Actually, when you talk about the holes in the cheese, they appear during fermentation under the effect of heat. In the past, heat was used a lot for fermentation, but now we have fattier cheeses and longer ripening, partly in cold cellars. And these two points have made Comté evolve into what it is today, with no eyes or one or two eyes in the cheese.
That's I love that. I think that's one of the things that people enjoy so much about cheese and get so excited about, besides eating it, is just the science behind it. And the way that climate and environment and the craft of cheesemaking all interact. It's fascinating to me. So we are going to take a short break to have a word from our sponsor, and we will be right back to talk more about Comté.
This episode of Cutting the Curd is brought to you by Comté Cheese Association. Comté Cheese Association represents the Comté PDO, Comté Protected Designation of Origin, in the USA. Comté is a raw milk, cooked, pressed cheese from the Jura Mountains of France. There, every day, 2,500 family farms deliver milk to over 150 local cheesemaking facilities, or fruitiers. This milk must be transformed into Comté within 24 hours of milking to preserve the lactic microflora in the milk, ensuring the cheese's aromatic potential. About 105 gallons of milk are required to craft a single wheel of Comté. Comté takes time to acquire its flavors in the affinage cellars. After 8 months of aging by dedicated affineurs on average, each wheel of Comté is graded and shipped to market. No wheel of Comté is the same. Its flavors speak to the pastures where the cows grazed, the season in which it was made, the particular craftsmanship of the cheesemaker, and the time spent in the aging cellar. Therefore, every wheel of Comté is unique. Learn more about Comté, an iconic cheese from the Jura Mountains of France, favored by cheesemongers and cheese lovers all over the world. Find out more at comté-usa.com. That's comté-usa.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new series on Heritage Radio Network called The Culinary Call Sheet, where we give a peek into the back kitchen of culinary media. I'm your host, April Jones.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Bresnitz. part of why we started the show was to offer an unofficial mentorship for anyone who is interested in learning about all aspects of food and video, whether that's TV, social media, online, or just something you want to do for fun.
Absolutely. What was once niche or a little silly, as I'm sure you remember, Darren, when we started out.
Yes, ma'am.
Has now become such a massive playing field for so many creatives using food as the medium.
It's something that has driven us professionally and personally for so many years. What excites me the most about this show is that we're going to sit down with some of the industry leaders to hear how they made it and what drew them into this industry.
With 20 years in the culinary production game ourselves, we're hoping we can give, through these conversations, an insider's view into personal stories from the field, as well as an in-depth behind-the-scenes look into some of the most popular food programming in today's evolving culinary media landscape.
We'll be covering everything from how to style your food, to how to license IP, to developing your own ideas, and some tips from the masters of how to host your own show.
Yeah, it's a little bit of conversation, how to, and how do you do the things that you do in culinary media, which I'm so excited about. I love so many of the guests that are coming on this season. We have talent from Food Network, from Vice Media, Eater, Refinery 29.
We've met some of the best people in the world, both in front of and behind the camera. And we're bringing them all together to share their stories, their delicious adventure, and their unique journey into this crazy world.
So to be the first to hear our episodes when they launch this fall, go to wherever podcasts are streaming and hit subscribe and make sure to give us a follow at the Culinary Call Sheet on Instagram.
And we're back. Thank you so much again for joining us during this discussion about Comté cheese. And I'm here with my wonderful guests, Aurélia Chimier from the governing body for the Comté PDO in France. And we also have with us Jean-Louis Carbonnier, who is a representative of the Comté PDO in the United States. And we are so excited to have you on, both of you, to talk about Comté cheese, because I want to make sure that we talk about the Comté scholarship. This is a fascinating opportunity for people in the United States with the American Cheese Society, certified cheese professionals, it's their chance to go over and visit the Jura and to see firsthand a lot of what we are talking about today. Jean-Louis, can you tell us about the Comté Scholarship?
Yeah, of course, with pleasure. So first of all, this Comté Scholarship is the result of our work with the American Cheese Society. And a number of years ago, probably about 10 years ago, this organization realized that there was a real need to try and establish some form of certification for people in the cheese trade, and especially people who work in cheese stores or cheese distributors. And from the beginning, we were involved with, and this is a project that we followed with great attention, because eventually it led to the creation of this certificate called CCP certification, or Certified Cheese Professional. And it allows people who work in the trade to have a diploma, if you will, which represents a set of skills and knowledge about cheese. If you look at the history in France, you'll see that the cheesemongers and people in the trade are part of a real profession. You know, they train, they take diplomas. This is a very well recognized profession. When you go to a cheese store in France, or if you go even to the cheese counter in French supermarkets, the consumer can deal with people who know something about the cheese, who know how to cut the cheese, who know how to select it and maintain it. It's very important. In the US, we're not there yet, you know. So these efforts with the American Cheese Society are really helping making the cheesemonger somebody who has a somebody who can advise the consumer, somebody who can help the development of especially artisan traditional cheeses in the U.S. market. So from our standpoint, as part of our collaboration and support of this project, we established an annual competition for the newly certified CCPs. I mean, truth be told, the contest remains open to other CCPs, but the goal is mostly to be an incentive for those people who are taking the certificate to enter this program. And from our perspective, we offer this small competition. It's an essay competition, and the winner of this competition wins a trip to the Conte region, where they can discover what Conte is all about. Of course, we also give the winner a small stipend of $750, which they can use for their trip or for for other goals, really. But the idea is to show them Conte, of course, but also I think for many of them an opportunity to see firsthand a special universe of cheesemaking, for them to understand the system of PDO, of protected designations of origin, and understand how all the players are in fact behind all these specifications. And frequently we also invite this person to meet with a French cheesemonger, to have an exchange about how they do it in France, and the goal is not to the goal is really to share experiences and to inspire people in their work in the world of cheese.
And this year is the 10th year of the scholarship. Yeah. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's correct.
And do you have details on what is involved in applying for the scholarship? They write an essay, correct?
Yes, they write an essay. There is a form that people can download on our website at conte-usa.com with all the details. It's very simple, really. It's very simple. It's I should say, absolutely foolproof.
Yes, it is. I have to say, it is definitely the trip of a lifetime. It is just wonderful. You may get to meet Aurelia. You will meet Jean-Louis, and you will visit the Maison du Comte. Speaking of going back for a minute about the Maison and its purpose, I wanted to remind people, this is a region you can go and visit and explore, and definitely make sure you put a visit to La Maison du Comte on your itinerary. But Aurelia, what do you think drives the love for Comte in France? What is it about this cheese that makes it so popular? And I do want to say, I noticed there is definitely more availability of this cheese at different ages in France that we don't get to have here. We usually see it more aged. But what is it about this cheese that you think makes people so so excited that they come to visit?
Comté is really a national patrimony. So that's interesting to discover what's behind Comté, to meet all the people who makes Comté. For that, we have a tourism program called Les Routes du Comté. Les Routes du Comté, it's first La Maison du Comté. You've told about the museum before, but it's also farms, fruitiers, and aging cellars opening their doors for visitors. And the itineraries that we propose on the website can take you through restaurants, market, regional food producers, and it really permits people visiting the area to meet the people who make Comté every day. And I think that's what makes Comté so important. We have no problem to show what we do in total transparency and with a great pride. And for people visiting us, it's always surprising and a great moment shared with our actors. After that, I would say that Comté is also an easy cheese to appreciate. It's very versatile. It's characterized by a broad aromatic diversity. You can have lactic aromas, milk, butter, cream, when you taste young Comté. You can have fruitier aromas like nuts, apricot, citrus, white chocolate when you taste a Comté between 10 and 14 months. And if you like stronger cheese, stronger taste, you will love aged Comté with roasted onions, aromas, or dried nuts, or things like that. So its taste and its texture suits any palate in France and in the world.
What is the international market like for Comté? Outside of France, where is the most Comté sold?
We have about 10% of the production exported. The main country is Belgium and Germany. They are very close to France, and we have same kind of gastronomy. We have UK, US, Spain, and Japan.
Very interesting.
So you can see that it can be appreciated everywhere. And
Italy is not on that list.
No. We have actually... You can find a little bit of Comté in Italy. We don't want to compete other very nice PDO cheeses.
Right. Interesting. Very interesting. And do you have a preference of flavor profile or age of Comté that you like?
I like them all. You will tell me that it's normal I say that, but not at all. It depends on the moment of the day. And it depends on the pairing I will make.
Do you have any
pairings? For general consumption, I would like a 12 months old Comté. It would be my preferred one. But with a hint of vanilla or with chutney, I will like a younger one. And sometimes with older Comté, I will have some yellow wine jam on it. I will have spices that are more powerful, like a hint of curry is very nice on Comté as well. So it depends on the moment, really.
Interesting. I am sensing that people will start doing some cheese and spice pairings. Because the idea of vanilla and pairing with curry sounds really intriguing to me. I think I'm going to have to start exploring that. I did want to ask you about the climate and climate change with Comté production, because this summer we know that there was a decision, the Salers producers halted production for the first time because of the drought conditions. And we've heard about the heat waves and the fires in France. Was there an impact to where you are? And in general, how is climate change impacting Comté farmers and production?
For sure, Comté has been affected by the drought this summer. But the difference with Salers is that Salers is a seasonal production based only on grass. And if there is no grass, there is no Salers, and the milk is transformed into Cantal Fermier with cows fed on hay. That's what we did for Comté. The milk producers have adapted the feeding of the Montbéliard cows. And since there was no grass in the pasture, they gave them a part of the hay that had been harvested for the winter. And that makes the milk production decrease a little bit during this summer. And that's why there will be less Comté produced in August than in previous years. But since at the beginning of September, rain was back, it's incredible that the grass has grown back very fast, and the dairy cows can be in the meadows again, eating fresh grass. So it was a really seasonal concern about 1 month. So the point will be on the hay for winter. Everyone hope that the producer will have enough hay for the winter, and we hope the winter will not be too long.
And these decisions in terms of how to approach disruptions such as the one you described in August, those are decisions made by the cooperatives, correct? They plan that yes. together. They figure that out.
Yes.
Right. So, and those are the, so, and so the farmer and the fruitier, like the whole system, the whole chain is cooperating in these decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, a PDO cheese has to do with nature. We can't mm-hmm. go against nature, so we have to adapt anyway.
I think that is the perfect way to end this interview, this conversation, because those are very true words that we all need to live by and remember. And I really appreciate you spending some time with us and teaching us all about Comté and encouraging us all to come and visit you. And Jean-Louis, thank you for being here and telling us about the scholarship and its role in the education of cheesemongers in the United States. And Aurelia, thank you again. I hope I get a chance to come back and see you at the Maison de Comté again.
With pleasure.
Thank you.
And everyone out there listening, thank you for joining us on Cutting the Curd. Be sure to visit us at Heritage Radio Network and on our Instagram pages. We have links posted to the different things we talked about today, including how to apply for the scholarship with Comté USA. And we'll share links to the Maison de Comté. And we look forward to seeing you back here at Cutting the Curd again sometime soon.
Cutting the Curd is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.